what you waiting on? Check checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show, turn your radio on. Chelsea just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium, I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother, make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students, nah. Everyone can do it, do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative, maneuver through it. You know it's fast, only. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Deli, shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Deli, you know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational, like my big homie Tony, 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 Tony. Go BBS Radio.
Yay! Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands, and sitting with in here with me to do this show is Coach Keith Franklin. The reason Coach Keith Franklin is in with me tonight, listen, when it comes to American Heritage, because we are live from American Heritage in Plantation, Florida. Not American Heritage in Delray, because there are two schools. One is in Delray, one is in Plantation. And when it comes to bragging rights, and within, even though they are joining programs, when it comes to bragging rights, everyone tends to lean toward American Heritage and Plantation. The reason we are here tonight, it is the big game here in South Florida. It is American Heritage in a rematch with Cardinal Gibbings High School. This game pretty much signifies who goes to the state championship and who packs it up and have hopes and dreams about next year getting back to this point, because everyone that's playing high school football has dreams to get to the last game. And the last game is in the Citrus Bowl in Orlando. Not only that, but the biggest story that dropped today in the sports world is the falling of the University of Miami. The falling of the University of Miami to Pitt. Number 2 Miami plays Pitt in Pittsburgh, drops 24-14. 24-14. In that game. But Frank, did you get a chance to see that game?
Yeah, actually I did. Tony, how you doing there?
What's going on, man?
All righty. Yeah, that was a big upset today.
But now tell me, Keith, and you played the position of quarterback.
Yes.
It seems that Rozier kind of struggled today trying to connect on the deep balls.
Yes, his accuracy was off throughout the day. But if you kind of look back at the last previous games, it was prone to happen sooner or later.
Correct.
You know, I just think the odds kind of caught up with him today. He's a great athlete, but his accuracy was very off today.
But now, okay, now we speak that his accuracy was off. Mm-hmm. But do you do what Mark Rick did, where you pull a kid? Now, here's a kid that done got you to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, in this game, because you got to understand, you still have the Clemson game to play. You still have the ACC championship game to play. You pull, especially when it comes to quarterback. Okay, you can pull a receiver. You can pull a running back. You can pull a DB. We get frustrated, but it don't mess with our psyche as much as it mess with the psyche of a quarterback. You played the position of quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
How much did that mess with Rozier's psyche being benched after all you've done? And I'm quite sure all as an athlete, all this goes through your mind because your homie's going to call you and tell you after the game, darn, dog, he benched you.
Well, I'm not going to question Coach Rick's
rationale.
Well, people don't understand. Coach Rick's also played quarterback.
Correct.
He played the position. And to be honest with you, Tony, I think it was a good move by Coach, to be honest. You know, for him to sit him down. I mean, he just pulled him for a series. And I think he probably just wanted to get him calmed back down, let him talk with the coaches up top, and let him see it from a view from the sideline. I think what they did, maybe if you don't bench him, maybe run the ball a little bit more.
And
I think, you know, it would have felt a little more better by running the ball a little bit more, trying to continue to establish running game. But I could see what Coach did. I mean, I did that with one of my players before.
And you feel like that either lifts the guy to, hey, listen, you got to see it from this angle. You got to see what we're seeing because you're missing the deep balls.
Right. And I just think Coach knows him better than the people on the outside.
Correct.
Fans. So I think, like I said, Coach Rick, I think he did a move. He works with the quarterbacks.
Yes.
He knows the position. So he's been there. And I just think, I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, he didn't put him for two or three series. He put him for one series. And I think when the other guy went in,
he found out. No, but now, yeah, he came out to, go ahead. But now, you said he pulled him for one series.
Yes.
Was that only because Sheriff didn't look good? Now, if he would have came in and connected on a couple of those that he threw, which one, the first one I think he threw was batted down. The second one was a little wide. Mm-hmm. Now, imagine he connects on that and he keeps the drive going. All of a sudden, he drives the ball down, and I'm talking hindsight because this did not happen. But does that, the guy connects, takes him down, they get a drive. Mm-hmm. Does this continually one series?
Well, I think if Sheriff goes out there and he moves the ball down the field and they have some success, I think he probably would continue to play him. You know, because, I mean, listen, as a quarterback, you know, we have bad games.
Correct.
And I think at that point in time of the game, I think Coach Rich felt like he felt that Rozier was having a bad game and talking to him on the sideline and putting him back in. He really didn't see it. And he tried to go with Sheriff to just give a little.
Try to get some momentum.
Get a momentum going on the offensive side. I don't think it's a quarterback controversy, though. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Rozier did a bad job to where, oh, well, Miami got a quarterback controversy for the next, going in the next week, big game.
But now, this is the one key question that I look at when I look at all that, when I look at the way that game was being played. Now, you pulled them in that game. As a quarterback, you get in the ACC championship game, and all of a sudden, you overthrow two balls. Do you start wondering in your back of your mind, is Coach going to pull me? Now, does that affect your psyche in that game?
Well, again, I think quarterback is a very tough position, and I think mentally, I think Coach Rick has done a great job preparing this young man and all the rest of his quarterbacks. You know, I think Sheriff, you know, a lot of times people like, they be on the sideline and say, oh, well, I can go out there and do that. But when you get up under that fire,
it's a different ball.
So I think Rose, he's going to be all right next week. He make a couple bad throws here and there. He'll be okay. You know, but then again, that might wake him up for next week.
And that's
what I'm saying. Knowing that, man, you know what? Coach can stack me out at any time. Let me make sure I practice harder this week.
Yeah,
or let me go to the film session or study a little harder. And maybe, you know, hey, they might have took Pitt a little lightly.
And I think, do you think, Ryan Bartow is also joining us, my main man Keith Brickman. We're live here on the Tony Sands Show at American Heritage and Cardinal Gibbons, which is, we'll say it's the big game of the playoffs here in the state of Florida. But to me, it is the game in the state of Florida when it comes to the playoff, because technically – we're getting ready to watch the state championship game play out.
Absolutely.
We're getting ready to watch it. We're back here live at Cardinal Gibbons High School. Looking at the matchup between Cardinal Gibbons and American Heritage. Cardinal Gibbons and American Heritage. So let's get into this game. Mm-hmm. Ryan, let's break down this game. And we're going to break it down from a standpoint of looking at both teams, and when we look at the quarterback position of both teams, who do we give that edge to when it comes to the quarterback position?
Well, I think Coach Mario Perez has done a great job in his scheme with what he's got to work with there. I think Smith has given him a dual threat aspect, and I like the way that he's distributing the ball all over the place. Scalzo, I think, is the X factor in the game tonight because his ability to improvise.
Correct.
When the play breaks down, he's like I've called him for years, the Johnny Football of South Florida. And you can scheme it right and you can be in the right place, but when that play breaks down, that's where he's at his best.
Now, Coach, you played the position of quarterback and you played here at American Heritage, so that's why it makes it even more important to those that are listening. Tell me this. Do you see Scalzo as somebody like yourself when you played the position of quarterback here at American Heritage?
Yeah, actually, I do. His style was very similar to the way I played. And, you know, like Ryan just said, I don't care what scheme you come up with, when you have a quarterback that can be elusive and make a bad play a great play, it put pressure on the defense. And I think Nick has been doing a good job this season doing that. Kim plays a lot.
And now he's meeting, and it depends on who you ask when it comes to the cornerback. Some people has it as Surtain at number one and Campbell at number three. But if you ask primetime Deion Sanders, this thing, and it's hard to go against when you talk about prime. It's hard to kind of go against what prime says as his one, two, three, four corner.
Right.
You know, he would put Sertan at, well, he put Sertan at number two. Mm-hmm. He put Al Blaze at his number one corner. But we're seeing Scalzo got to go up against now two premier corners. How does that – now, what kind of pressure does that put on Scalzo to be more accurate? And these guys are going to play Gibbons receivers now one-on-one. They're going to play a more man up.
Because there'll be throws he'll make tonight, and those two kids, who I think are the best two corners in the country and happen to be on the same team in young Pat and Tyson, they'll be in the spot where he's thrown it to before his receivers will be. Because we're talking about two guys that are running 10-4s, 10-3s at 6'2". They're very, very freaky. I think they're both future pros, no doubt. And that could be that a factor in ball security.
Now, Ryan, we talk about those two guys. Where do you see a guy like, here we are in the state of Florida, where do we see Sertan possibly ending up once this thing? Because now these kids don't have that long.
Yeah.
They don't have that long to go.
He has a great rapport with the area recruiter there, Corey Raymond. And his favorite player growing up was Patrick Peterson. I've been on record many times saying, even when Pat was a freshman, saying he was, in my opinion, the best DB to come out of South Florida since Patrick Peterson.
Correct.
Just very rare to see a guy that's 6'2", 200.
That big.
With, and you know the DNA is awesome.
Yes.
And then he runs that 4-4 every play and just a five-star guy. He has a NA by everything you're looking for.
Now, Ryan, when we look at this, because when I also always see a son, I see a daddy, I see a dad, you know, combination, as we saw down in Miramar, son left, dad left, gone.
Yep.
Do we possibly see that outcome here at American Heritage? Son leaves, dad leave, American Heritage looks for a new coach.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if we didn't see that. And I think when Pat's done here, his next coaching will be on the college level. And especially come January 9th, where everybody in the country gets to hire a 10th assistant coach. So the first time in college football history, you're going to have 129 new jobs.
New jobs opening.
Yeah, which is going to have a lot of ripple effects. So, and he's a guy, whether he had the number one corner in the country as his son or not, he's a guy that's going to be able to develop and recruit and be a heck of a college coach. But we're talking about a guy that outside of that kickoff classic hasn't ever lost as a coach.
Correct. Now, and look at what we all have here at American Heritage. American Heritage have the great location-wise.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to get kids in is phenomenal.
Yep.
It almost reminds me of a place like a Michigan State type school, to where there's no way a kid can't get into a school like Michigan State and things like that, because they have so many things set up for kids to come in. If you're a kid and your reading level is not so, Michigan State has all that type of stuff covered. Mm-hmm. Here at American Heritage have that all covered, because they have like two schools within one school. They have an academy that deals with it. So when they go after a kid, wondering if a kid going to be able to make it in this environment is not something that is even on their radar when they go out to the little leagues, or kid or parents think about coming here to American Heritage. That kind of stuff is not even on their radar. So it makes it any guy that's looking to get an opportunity to coach here at American Heritage, it makes it even more exciting for you, because you know you can continue to recruit.
Right, and they have great coaches, great assistant coaches, great strength staff already in place. We're talking about a team that's going to take the field tonight that's ranked by Max Preps as the number three team in the country.
Correct.
And Gibbons ain't too far back. As we've been hyping it up since we kicked off tonight, this is the de facto state title game. Whoever wins tonight, I don't care who you're going to face next week or the week after, they're not going to be as good as what you see tonight.
And that's, like you said, this game is the game. When you look at, when I look at the matchup, but it's going to be a game that's going to be decided, to me, in the trenches. How well can Cardinal Gibbons' offensive line, to me, stand up to American Heritage defensive line?
Because they got some dudes up front. I mean, Nesta Silvera, future Hurricane, he is a straight-up South Florida dog to the bone. And he's going to fill it up. And I mean, Andrew Chatfield is the reigning Broward County Defensive Player of the Year. Last year, he only beat out, You got to beat out about 150 D1 kids to win that award.
To win the
26
award.
Sacks last year. He's had a couple pick sixes this year. I love watching him play all day. He's a guy that Miami recently offered. They're probably in the driver's seat right now for him. Slightly over Florida, a former Ohio State commit that's trying to get back in the game for him. So he's a guy that when the game's done tonight, he might be the one we're talking about the most because he'll be most in charge of chasing down that QB.
Now, and when you talked about what type of players that you have on your team. Michigan defensive coordinator Cody Brown brought up that he has three types of players on his team. He has guys, he have dudes, and he have animals. I'm trying to see me playing. You know, sometimes they say that's that guy, that's that dude right there.
Yep.
But then he also added another one when he said that animal. So I'm trying to figure out, me as a player, I think I would lean toward, if a coach had to give me one of those characteristics, I think I'm going to lean toward the animal. Because I think the animal is just that unstoppable. The dude is, hey, that's that dude.
But that inner hunger.
Yeah, that's that dude that can make things happen. But that animal strikes fear in other guys.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is just a guy. When you say guy, that means, all right, you're just another one amongst every other guy. But that dude kind of elevates you. But to me, that animal takes you to a whole nother level because now you strike fear in opponents. You strike, and that's what, when you look at Sertan, you look at that deep line. Those are animals. Those ain't guys, and those ain't dudes.
Right, they have four guys that are all Americans, two D linemen and the two corners that could play for any school in the country.
Correct.
I think both corners are potential early entrants, and I don't say that too often. I mean, but that's probably one of the reasons why Pat wants to go to LSU to do that same plan where he's only there for 3 years and then he's playing on Sundays.
We bring this is where Coach Franklin comes in. You mean early entrants coming out, only spend 3 years in college and I'm out of there?
Right.
Because we know when we say early entries with early signing day being December 10th, they can't leave American Heritage early. That's the one thing about private schools.
Right. Yeah. I didn't say get into college early. I mean, I'm talking 3 years.
3 years down
now.
The line.
Yeah.
Three and out. As they were saying, basketball one and done. And which I think that should be thrown to the white space side if I'm ready as a basketball player. Because we know it's different in football. When in basketball, they could be one and done. Why am I going to college to waste a year? Why? I'm wasting, just like I think we look at the basketball player, just his back. He was supposed to be a one and done, would have went in. Yes. Now he's done for the year.
He'll never play there.
Yeah. It was a waste. And that was
the dad got the assistant coach's job for him to go there. So, yeah, he wound up winning pretty good there. I'm hearing the new rule they're going to have is they're going to allow kids to leave from high school. But if you do go to college, you got to stay minimum 2 years.
Yeah.
So that helps the college game, the pro game, and the kid.
And see,
I like that better because then you're going to get better overall skill development.
And when you looked at this whole thing, we knew it wasn't nothing about the kids when they went back to the where you had to go to school for 1 year. What does 1 year do for a kid? It does more for the college because they didn't want to lose the excitement of the Sweet 16 because guess what? There's nobody, no star guys playing in it because all the star guys are in the NBA.
Right.
They're gone. Football, we know that's not the heard of. The only person that we know that attempted to try that early was Marius Correct, and he didn't have success going up against those guys, those billionaire guys saying, listen, son, you're not ready for this game.
Yeah.
Regardless of how it goes, we're not letting you in. Basketball is a little different. You can develop into that physique that you need to. Football, you better already come with that physique because they're going to knock your head completely off. They're going to knock it completely off. But, Riley, when we talk about coaches and people moving, let's get into some of the coaching changes that's going to take place within the next couple of weeks. One here in the state of Florida that can cause a ripple effect in the state of Florida if Scott Frost, who is one of the hottest guys, we look at him possibly at Nebraska. I don't know how that match up with him in Nebraska. I don't know if he thinks if I go to Nebraska, Nebraska is just not built for the passing game. They're just not. Sometimes we outlive the stereotype of what we have. Nebraska's stereotype is that you pound the football. If I'm a receiver, I don't think to go to Nebraska because my mindset tells me Nebraska is a running program. I don't care who you put in there. Those guys in the Midwest are not built to pass the football. If he gets the Florida job, now, here goes Central Florida opens up. Who may have an opportunity, or what you think may be an opportunity for some guy to take the University of Florida job? Now, I'm going to tell you who I've heard. That's going to shock you. Diaz. I've heard Diaz now.
Yeah, I think UCF is, for many reasons, a sleeping giant because you have the on-campus stadium right next to the football center, right next to the indoor, right next to the all-players dorm, right next to the practice field. They're putting in the Lazy River. It's the second biggest school in the country. You can get anybody in. You can recruit JUCOs. You can recruit a Power 5 roster and not have to play a Power 5 schedule. And you're right in the middle, and you're in a hub in Orlando where you can fly if you need to get something else.
And it's cheaper to fly into Orlando. I think
that program, if it continues winning double digits games a year, they'll be in the Big 12, and they'll be a factor in the Big 12, because they'll be one of the only ones that actually play defense in that conference too. So I think that's job in the next 20 years. The future is real, real bright there, and they're probably going to go on a run here where it could be like, remember where Arkansas State had four coaches in 5 years because they kept winning 10 games and getting bigger jobs? Right. Frost told me when I was there a couple weeks ago, he's like, Ryan, we're ahead of the curve on our rebuild right now. My best teams are next year and the year after because all their best players are underclassmen, sophomores and freshmen. So a lot of guys like a Manny Diaz, like a Brent Venables, premier DCs that don't want to just take a job and have to build up. You don't have to build up there. Whoever was walking in that job, minimum 10 wins.
Right.
That thing is ready to just reload.
It's already ready to go. We're live here on the Tony Sands Show live. You're listening to my main man, Keith Franklin, and my right-hand man, Ryan Bartow, as we're breaking down what's going on in college football, what's going on here at American Heritage. But guess what? When we come back from this commercial break, I'm going to let you know where the chips fall, whether it's UCLA or Florida, when it comes to coaching here on the Tony Sands Show. We're live here at American Heritage High School in the big game between American Heritage and Cardinal Gibbons. We're going to continue to break down that in and out of the breaks, break down this game and decide who wins this game when it's all over. Because to me, this is the state championship game for this division. This is in the state of Florida. This is the state championship game for the 5A division. You will not see a better matchup within the playoffs of this matchup. To me, the team that wins this game wins the state championship. They might as well crown themselves that, because I don't see a letdown like Miami did this today. I see them continuing to roll. Cardinal Gibbons never being in this position,
right,
from a standpoint of continuing understanding what it means now at this point. They've gotten right at the door, but they haven't crossed that door.
Yeah.
American Heritage has gotten to this point, crossed the door, won state championship. They understand what this pressure brings.
And Heritage is a senior-dominated team.
Correct.
And they go in winning this series at least three or four times in a row. I mean, Gibbons hasn't beat them in about 10 years. Now that's going to change next year because a lot of Gibbons' best players are juniors. And I'm not saying this is going to dry up at Heritage because they do have some good freshmen, but it won't be as good as they've been accustomed to the last 7 years.
The level of playing field, and I say this all across the state of Florida, especially when it comes to the private schools, because the private schools has always dominated the landscape of recruiting. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing now the playing field is starting to level off. It was mainly a big thing here in Broward County where the recruits were more advanced than at the public school level. But even here now, we're seeing that level off with the Dillfields, with the Miramars. Yep. These schools are leveling off the playing field.
West Broward plays tonight at Atlantic.
Who would have thought?
Western beats
Dillfield. Right. Who would have thought?
Yeah, that was a bigger upset than Miami losing to Pitt.
Yeah, who goes into that thinking at this point? But then you take Rakovic, who's experienced with Dillfield.
Right.
From coaching there.
Yeah.
Right.
This guy understands. He's been in that dynamic. He understands what it means to go to Dillfield. He know how to prepare his kids going into Dillfield and how they need to play. Don't go in there. You go in there with a chip on your shoulder, hey, that you can beat these guys. The last upset I seen like that was when Cooper City upset St. Thomas. And that was the last one I seen.
And also by them playing Western and Deerfield played last year.
Yes.
So those guys, those kids that played for Western last year, the underclassmen,
yes,
like the quarterback, those guys knew how it felt to go to Deerfield, and they lost. And I think once they lost that game last year, they, I think Rackledge got those guys together, got those kids together, and said, we'll be back next
year.
And if we cross this road against Deerfield, you'll know how to attack them. And so this year, being a difference rate, number one in the state, I think those kids at Western, the staff at Western, it didn't faze them because they had that experience of going through it last year.
Last year.
The same situation that Cardinal Gibbons and Heritage is going at it tonight.
Now let's break it down a little bit more. Let's look at coaching. Let's go overall coaching staffs. Let's look at, we got Cardinal Gibbons coaching staff, and I always call it a chess game. Cardinal Gibbons is OC, which is the Buck, called, versus he's probably going up against Sertan, because I'm quite sure Sertan has a lot to do when it comes to that defensive play
call. Chad Wilson is his DC.
Chad is his DC.
Running.
Trust me, we know with them headphones on. Coach, you being a coach, you're an offensive guy, even though you may have an offensive coordinator. Oh, yeah. When you see things not going right, do you find yourself grabbing the headphones and say, hey.
Well, they ain't necessarily grabbing the headphones. You just go make the call.
So you just trumped the whole – Mike trumped the whole thing.
Well, yes.
Just Mike trumped the whole event.
I don't think Pat has a problem getting his defense in if he sees a certain scheme. I think Chad know how to, step aside and let – Pat call his thing if he sees something.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about it, you're talking about an all-pro type of guy.
Right.
And that's big on big tonight because the Bucks running that Mike Leach air raid system. Yes. They're throwing it all over the place. Obviously, a legit dual threat QB is your trigger man. And Sertain's going to have those ends lined up wide. Two stud corners playing press game.
Correct.
Dylan Lester, who I think is the senior sleeper in South Florida. No offers right now. Kind of reminds me of Khalil Herbert 2 years ago, where somehow he has no offers, and everybody who watches every game is like, no way.
Yeah.
I think that'll change in less than 2 weeks, and he'll start getting offers when coaches hit the road starting Sunday. Utah, Syracuse, a few others. But and then you have an NC State commit in Calvin Hart at linebacker, and then obviously the two four-star studs up front. So.
But now, tell me this. When we talk about coaches starting to hit the road.
Yeah.
Let's look at the quarterback position. At some point, how does the quarterback position here in Broward County and Dade County, here in South Florida, how is it where it need to be as far as when it comes to quarterback? If you're coming down to look for a dual threat quarterback, is it at the level of places like California?
Not even close. California, every team and the best four schools in California actually play in the state semifinals tonight.
Wow.
One of them we know real well in Bosco.
In Bosco, yes.
And they play Corona Centennial. Now, each one of those schools, they not only have a D1 senior starter, they all have a sophomore D1 guy that's already got offers.
Wow. Yeah.
All four of them. That's QB heaven there. Now, what they don't have that exists here a lot deeper is your amount of speed, depth, skill, confidence, upside, and toughness, stuff like that. But I think that the overall QB play in the state of Florida has gotten better in the last 10, 15 years. Yeah. And some of the best QBs we see are now in the NFL, and they're originally Miami guys. This offseason, I joke saying, hey, Charlie Strong got that great roster at USF. This might be the second time in his career where a QB from the 305 gets Charlie's butt a new job.
Yeah.
Because
you
got Winky Flowers, and then obviously what Teddy Bridgewater did for him.
Yeah, Teddy. Exactly. And like you said, Teddy Bridgewater launched him. I remember when he took that Louisville job. He came down to the state of Florida and cleaned house.
Yes.
Yeah.
He beat out some of the big boys here within the state to get those recruits. And we've seen him, we're watching him do that again at South Florida. And that's why, sometimes when we take certain jobs doesn't fit who we are and what we do. Mm-hmm. I don't think Texas ever fit what Charlie Strong was as a coach.
Right.
I don't think he was really welcomed in to UT. I think UT did a move because the pressure was out that, hey, you need to hire, let's make it look good. We hire a minority coach. But with the intent, if you don't do good and within 2 years, we're going to oust him anyway.
Yeah, the people that run the show there are your big money guys. And you got to appease the high school football coaches in Texas.
Within the state of Texas.
Yeah.
You got to be able to know how to go in And he's not that. And I think he has that. He has that finger on the pulse here in Florida because of being at the University of Florida.
Yep.
He know how to come in. He has a lot of ties here in the state of Florida.
Especially South Florida.
Yes.
And that's why, I like I said, we look at it and see why he was able to do turn that program around in a short amount of time. Now, those two guys, to me, when South Florida and Central Florida meet, that you're hearing about that game more than you're hearing about the Florida and Florida State game.
Right.
That's getting ready to play.
Yeah, because two teams have double-digit wins, and Florida State and Florida have combined, what, 8-9 wins?
If that.
Yeah, that's as low as that game. And honestly, it should never be that way at those two powerhouses.
Never. I'm not talking, even despite what goes on, the level of those two programs, Florida State and Florida, should never in the state of Florida take a back seat. And this is not calling out Central Florida and not calling out South Florida. Should never take a back seat to both of those programs when both of them are playing on the same day. Right. Never. That should never take place.
Not at all. I think it also shows you that those two jobs in Orlando and Tampa are sleeping giants, and they can be double-digit wins every year.
And we talk about jobs. We're hearing a lot about possibly Jimbo and Texas A&M. How much of a marriage can we see there? Or do we see Jimbo as another means trying to squeeze the turnip and take the money out of Florida State?
I think it's a leverage play because I don't think you leave a Florida State that's only been open twice in the last 50 years, that's an A-level top 10 job for a consistent 8-4 program in Texas A&M. And then guess what? Every year you have to play in the toughest division in college football in that SEC West. If he wanted to get in that division, he had his chance last year at his dream job at LSU. He said no to that. When he said no to that, I'm like, he'll never leave Florida State. I think he's looking at his number one competitor in his own division, the ACC, and seeing what Clemson just built for Dabo with that new facility and saying, hey, if we're going to keep up with them, I need one of those just like that.
But now Florida is saying, hey, we're looking down the road at possibly giving you some more money. It's been stated that they said in Florida State saying they're not going to jump so fast to give him money right now. How do you give a guy, how do you go to the table to your boss? Your business is failing. I'm the supervisor. I'm running the company. But, boss, I need more money. But we're failing.
For the first time ever.
How do you put that in? So now when you try to go get leverage, they're going to trump you with saying, guess what? You know what your record is right now, Jimbo? And now that has also, with this record being the way it is, how does that look down the line? Because now, guess what? We've been to lose the recruiting battle in the state of Florida to them guys in the South with a turnover change. Now we're in the battle with Florida for guys because we're both in the same level. Technically, the guy who wins, the team that wins tomorrow, they're probably going to take a loose nudge over the team that don't. Yep. And if Florida beat Florida State, then they take the jump.
Yep. In Texas A&M, and I thought their wish list was pretty realistic, even with all the money they have there, because they're like, yeah, we could probably get Jimbo or Dabo or James Franklin. I'm like, none of those three are leaving.
Now,
guys to actually look at, Chad Morris at SMU.
SMU.
He's an A&M grad. He's a former Texas high school coach. He has SMU as a top 10 offense in the country. So I think that's a guy to look at. Another name that I've heard in the last 24 hours that his agent kind of reached out in the interest level to keep an eye on, Jason Garrett.
Wow. Yeah, now I'm hearing some rumors that
he might be needing a job real soon.
That the billionaire is not happy with where things are going. Because when you get blowed out at home twice, I mean, not beat. Okay, I understand you got, you know,
and you didn't
see
in game coaching
smashed.
Adjustments.
Right.
You get smashed. Yeah. You telling me we lose Zeke Elliott and the bottom falls out? I understand when you lose a quarterback and things like that, but even look at Green Bay situation. You lose a guy like Aaron Rodgers, but they haven't fell off that far. They haven't fallen off. So now Dallas, you've fallen off so far that, shoot, you don't even look like a, you don't like you can even play. You still, Philly blows you out, and then you get blown out by San Diego.
San Diego.
So I'm quite sure there's going to be a lot of ripples in Jerry. You know, Jerry Jones is a guy, knowing Jerry, Jerry's a guy, he's not, listen, Gary's not, Jerry will pull a stunt in a minute. I'm telling you guys this right now. Jerry will pull a stunt. He is an entertainer. Jerry loves ratings. And I'm quite sure Jason Garrett knows his job right now.
He's on the hot seat.
You know, they're saying that it's not, but Jerry Jones is not happy because when the Cowboys are not winning, not only does the value of the Dallas Cowboys drop, the value of the NFL drops.
Yep.
So now I got to get, you know, Jerry was one. You got to figure when the Cowboys won a Super Bowl, you remember he stole it to Jimmy under some sauce. Listen, I can get anybody to, I can get anybody to coach this team.
Right. And Jimmy is the one that made the team.
And then he goes and get Barry Switzer. And he wins a Super Bowl. Now, does and you know, that's always been a hate love relationship between them two. You go get Barry Switzer, you win a Super Bowl. So, was Jerry correct in saying that I can get anybody to coach this team? Or was Jerry out of his league in saying that? Frank, what do you think?
Well, I think he was a little bit out of his league. But, you know, Jerry, hey, he got money, he got power. But, you know, you might have won at that time. But I think I heard yesterday during the game, I mean, I think Dallas has won two playoff games
since
what, probably the last 20 years or so?
Yeah.
And you're supposed to be America's team.
Remember the guy that made all those draft picks and made that Herschel Walker trade?
Trey,
he's living down in the Keys right now.
Yeah.
The Godfather.
Yeah.
Fishing on his boat and enjoying life.
That's old Jimmy, right?
Yes.
That's right.
And Jimmy, tell you quick, listen, when I can't buy the groceries and cook the food, I don't need to be here. Miami found that out when – and then people don't realize when he was trying to make a move with Dan Marino and could not make the move.
Yes.
And he knew at that point, I'm stagnated with what I'm trying to do here. Hey, Jimmy, I'll tell you, listen, I got enough rings. I've accomplished a lot. I can walk away from this thing and enjoy life. Now he's in television and enjoying what he loves in television. And he is a Hall of Fame semifinalist going into it.
Right.
How far and how long he stays on it is the question. But now, talking about Hall of Fame, guys, let's jump ships to that a little bit. We got Randy Moss.
Okay.
Yep. You got Terrell Owens.
Guaranteed.
Who gets in?
The answer is both.
I agree.
I don't know.
There's some freaky guys that are ranked among the best and two of the best that have ever done it.
The reason why I said I don't know, you got to understand this. I know their numbers are high. Hall of Fame is very rare that they select two guys of that magnitude to go in. I would say, and I'm leaning toward this and watching it and being around this thing with the Hall of Fame for a long time, being with some of these guys, I see right at this point, if I was to choose one of those guys, I would go with Randy right at this point because of the simple fact, I think they still want to punish Terrell Owens for the antics that he did on the field.
And I think right now, when you said Hall of Fame, I think it's a disservice to some of these guys like Terrell Owens and guys like that, because if you're going to base the Hall of Fame on those guys, base them on what they did on the field during the time that they played. You know, you're talking about two guys that were probably two of the greatest in those positions. They rank up there with the Jerry Rice and the Michael Irvin.
Correct.
Some of their numbers is just as high, if not better,
those guys. They were better than those guys.
So I think those two guys, I agree with Ryan. I think both of those guys,
they deserve to go in.
They deserve it.
But they won't go in.
But you got those rules. And it's like you said, Tony, I think it's a little bit of the punishment.
They're going to punish. And I think the reason why I'm saying this, if you look at the Hall of Fame and you look at the guys that have went in, Art Monk took forever to get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, how overdue was that?
Reed from
took
Buffalo.
Forever to get in the Hall of Fame. Those guys wasn't faces on a network. Follow what I'm saying to you.
Okay.
It took Mike and Chris Carter a while to get in. Their faces with the networks, with Chris being on ESPN, now on Fox, with Mike being on the ESPN and the network, helped me when I look at help those guys launch when they wanted to, because they were punished. Chris Carter and Michael Irvin were punished by voters.
Right.
So this is what I'm saying. You got Randy Moss that is on television.
Yes.
Yep.
Terrell Owens is not on television. To where if I'm on television, I have an opportunity to change my image because of what people are seeing.
Yep.
When I'm not on television, what they knew of me is the only thing they think of me.
Right.
So I think that's what I think when it comes to Randy Moss and Terrell Owens. I think that may hurt Terrell Owens in this whole thing. We knew, and then you can't come out and kind of blast the voters because they will come at you. And I think they still going to hold Terrell Owens accountable for some of the things when he didn't go in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Versus Randy Moss. Randy Moss, they're looking at – Randy was no different than 12. They both was, you know, where they are, but that's the nature of a wide receiver. That's just the business of it. Everybody has come accustomed to understand that they are cocky and that they just they are what they are.
Yeah.
But that's why I say – I'm going to say Randy goes in, and I think T.O. waits a little bit more.
1 year?
Yeah. I think he waits either – rather is one –
T.O. need to get on the network?
Yeah, T.O. got to get – he's got to get on some type – because now you got to figure who votes. It's the media.
Yeah.
So now you know if they punish Michael Irvin and they punish Chris Carter for what they – for their transgressions, here go Randy Moss, who's – you know, was right there in that same – Bill, so do they let him get in even faster than they let a Chris Carter and a Michael Irvin in? That's the question that I'm weighing in.
Right. You're thinking they might neither of them might get in?
No. I'm saying Randy will get in.
Yeah.
Randy will. I see Randy going in. I don't see Terrell Owens is going in. I think they're going to continue to have. I think Cottrell's probably they're going to give him at least probably a spanking a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
To spank his bottom. Because you got to figure now, you look at this class, Ray Lewis is just winning in this class.
Yep.
You still have a lot of old guys that still got to go into this class. And do we trump those old guys and say, okay, here go a guy with T. And that's why I say the one thing when I say the word T.O., what pops up in your head?
Well, all of the negative stuff.
There you go. When I say Randy Moss, what pops up in your head when you see it now on the networks?
Yeah, catching the bomb.
So it's what have you done for me lately?
Yeah. You know, what have you done lately?
Yeah.
You know, Randy Moss was a guy who was able to change the game to where people started saying when you catch a ball over a guy, you moss him.
You moss him, right.
He has a verb named after him.
Yeah, so you moss the guy. So how does that play out when it comes to the Hall of Fame? Ray Lewis. We know a first-time ballot, he would definitely go in.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Urlacher is also on this thing. Do he get a chance to go in? Jimmy is out there. Do Jimmy Johnson, do someone finally say, okay, it's amazing how an owner goes in before a coach.
Right.
Before the coach.
Jerry Jones goes in. He's not dead. Normally when owners go in, they are dead.
Yeah.
This man goes in, and he's not even dead yet. So you wonder with this Hall of Fame thing, and when you're down there with those guys. I remember I was in the car with Warren Sapp when he first went in, and it was so funny. Warren was with us, right? Warren just goes in, so we all on the elevator. Warren runs to the elevator. We get on the elevator. We said, Warren, where you going? He jumps in the car. Warren, he said, man, y'all got to take me downtown. Warren, we're going in a whole nother direction. You want us to call you a car? We had to actually be late from where we had to turn him around to get him to the place where he needed to be. I think we were in New Orleans that time. We might have been in New Orleans, San Francisco when Warren went in. We had to turn around, get him. And listen, I had an exclusive interview with him. I had the only interview at that time with him, but I had to keep the interview because I couldn't play it.
Yeah.
You know, I was interviewing him, and there were so many things coming out that I couldn't even use it. I still have it in my archives right now today.
Within the story.
Yeah, I couldn't even use it. I said, you know, I got this exclusive. He said, well, T, I'm going to give you an exclusive. But I said, hey, you gave me the exclusive so much, I can't even exclusively use it.
Right.
So So what value was it to me? I could have chopped it up.
Look, you gotta play that.
The best stories you get are the ones you can never write.
After dark.
That's an after dark show, you know, that you play. Because he was so excited. And then I'm gonna tell you something, man. Like I tell you, when you talk about the Hall of Fame, you talk about these guys when they don't go in, being in the area, when you get back to the lobby and these guys don't go in, like Reed. I was with Reed didn't go in. Man, Reed was pissed off to the highest degree. Chris Carter, emotionally pissed off. Chris was in an emotional wreck. Because you got to think of Chris' brother was with us. When they was waiting and it didn't happen for Chris, man, Chris was hot. It takes them on an emotional type of roller coaster that you have to be around these guys to see that this thing really, you know, they get on telling me, oh, well, you know, it really doesn't mean as much to me. You know, if I get in, you know, I'm good. If I don't, man, you see them out there and they're a whole different animal. They're a whole different animal.
Gives the elite guys a little humble pie.
Yes, I mean, and they shove it down their throat too. You got to figure it ain't, you know, you can take it a little bit if your guys say, okay, hey, you ain't ready yet.
Yeah.
But when you got a guy from the media telling you, I ain't giving it to you. And you seeing these same guys, and the guy tell you, well, yeah, I couldn't vote for you.
Yeah.
You couldn't vote for me. Man, you nuts.
Nah, it's personal.
Yeah, it becomes, what?
That's personal.
You can see them sometimes when they walking in. Like when these guys, you know the guy, they already been somehow, like I said, like anything else. Hey, so-and-so, you know, didn't vote for you.
The WikiLeak.
Yeah, the WikiLeak tell him, he didn't vote for you, Randy. He didn't vote for you to your mic. Hey, so-and-so said they ain't gonna never vote for you.
Person.
They put it out. So you as a media person, they put it out that you don't vote for these guys.
Wow.
So imagine when you see these guys, and you go up to them and you want to get a story in the back of the guy's mind, say, wasn't you the same cat that didn't vote for me? Saying I shouldn't go in.
What goes around comes around.
Right, I shouldn't get in. And I've heard T.O. even said that he won't even give interviews to, because he knows they would not vote for him. We hope, I'm hoping that he goes in on this one. But I just don't think they're going
to
let him in.
Well, I think if T.O. really wants to get in, he's going to have to change his demeanor on that.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's going to have to take the high road and just say, look.
But now Chris Carter say he don't know the, I mean, Dion say he don't know the high road address.
He doesn't know it.
Dion said that candidly about, as a matter of fact, he went in on Tony Romo, said he don't even know the high road address. So he ain't going to take the high road when I'm trying to wonder now, is that a saying some people going to say? Listen, I don't even know the high road address, so I ain't taking that route.
Well, then if he doesn't, then he can wait a year or two.
I think he's going to wait a year, Rand. I think Chris Carter has made it, even said it, that these guys going to – listen, who's voting on this, they should change the criteria, because if it is about what you did on the football field, both of those guys should go in.
Absolutely.
But it's not, you know, it's almost like Baker Mayfield's situation.
Yes.
Does
it hurt the Heisman now?
Does it hurt the Heisman, because now you got to look back at the Heisman, looking at, you know, some of the past people that they gave the Heisman to, and now all of a sudden it looked like a black eye on them with Baker Mayfield giving Kansas the
They would penalize people in the past for that.
Absolutely.
And now he's probably by far got such a big lead on Barkley and all the others that they're going to have a double standard.
Yeah, because that's just how bad.
Right.
That's just how bad the playing field out here is of guys that was up for the Heisman.
Yeah, what amazes me in the whole Heisman deal is the guy that won it last year. His numbers are even better this year, and he's not even being mentioned. Right.
Not even being mentioned. It's like you don't. It's like you saying, okay, we can't give it to a guy twice. Can't give it to him twice. I think the last guy to win it twice was Archie Griffin.
Yep, yeah, he's the only one of
it. Yeah, that's it. Yep. We are not going to give it to you despite you even having the success. We got to find some type of knock on you to say why we can't give it to you. Your numbers are better than what you did to get in. Why you not? He's not even being mentioned. I don't even hear his name being mentioned in this thing.
Unreal. At least he'll be there by default
because
he's a past winner.
Because he's not even mentioned as
like one of the four finalists.
I think the last one that came across last week had him like number four.
Number four.
And if they, by the way, Some people don't view him as an NFL QB. Oh. I think that's insane.
Oh, that's insane.
I watched them practice in person maybe a month and a half ago. That kid was hitting 35-yard outs on a rope.
On a rope.
So you got accuracy. You got he's going to test off the charts. He's probably going to run a 4.4 laser.
Right.
Wow. At 6'3", 215. Dual threats are becoming more common in the program. I guess just the way I guess he's going to come across maybe verbally and processing info. But you also got coached by a former NFL coach in Petrino, too.
Right.
So
that's. And I tell you this, let Cleveland be in a position to get him. They better get him.
You better.
Look what happened now with Deshaun Watson. You know, they were talking bad about him and this and that. And. You bypass on this kid, and
you look at it.
Didn't get hurt, man. This kid was putting up some numbers, some numbers for a rookie year that was going to be off the charts.
Russell Wilson, all these guys that are coming in, Dak Prescott, all these guys that are coming in and changing. And I know these dinosaur guys don't want this game to change. They do not want. They want to continue to keep the drop back quarterback at the NFL level. That's why they continue to uplift those that are dropbacks versus those that are not, and they love when those two meet up and one have a better team or a better coaching staff and the other don't, and in the head-up matchup, they don't come out even.
It's the Tom Brady's of the past.
The dinosaurs.
They don't exist now. The quarterback, the makeup now, is changed drastically
because the
defense is faster.
Yeah.
So you need a quarterback like a Lamar Jackson.
So you can play 12 against 11.
Exactly. I mean, and I've always said this. That, to me, that was Randall's Cunningham downfall.
Yeah.
When they told Randall, we want you to be a pocket quarterback. When Randall was out there
take
running
his game
around
away from him.
And letting me free, Randall was one of the most dangerous quarterbacks in the league, a la Michael Vick. Michael Vick was the same way.
Yeah.
He was one of the most dangerous quarterbacks. They told Vick, no, we want you to stay in the pocket. And look what happened. Look at Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
When Donovan was moving around, he was dangerous. You know, look at Steve Young.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers.
You're a coach, and you're a quarterback. How important is it as a quarterback to say, okay, hey, listen, my game is this. Do some of those guys want to outlive what they've been stereotyped? Like if I'm, you know, they call me a dual threat. I hear somebody, I'm not a dual threat, I'm a quarterback.
Well, I'll say this, because I've worked with you. I think this day and time, especially if you're somewhere in the South Florida area.
Yeah.
Or, like, if you were one of them good quarterbacks out there in California, you might want to get down here to this speed camp with Tony Sands. Because this day and time, as a quarterback,
your
arm might be strong and all that, but you're going to need some speed with those legs.
Oh,
so,
Lord.
I think you need to get you a great trainer. And you know, you're my boy and everything.
You know
it. I think you're the best in the business.
We get it down.
Any guy that wants to play that quarterback position, you know, we work together. I think the speed is just important now as your arm. You know, your legs now.
I'm going to share a story with you guys. Khalil Tate is now the starting QB at Arizona. Took our guy Rich Rod about a month to figure out he's the best player on his team. And I'm at Sarah High School, Powerhouse in Gardena, and Khalil has offers from Southern Cal, Texas A&M, 6'2", 215, runs 4.4 every time. All of them except one where he's an athlete.
Wow.
I get done interviewing him, and I pulled him outside, and I'm like, Khalil, don't let anyone ever tell you you can't be a QB.
That's right.
And he went to Rich Rod's system, and he's, I think, fifth in the country in rushing, fourth in total offense. I bet you in a couple weeks he will be one of the four or five finalists for the Heisman. He's been a one-man band. He's unbelievable. He might be so good tomorrow, he might get Todd Graham fired at Arizona State.
Talking about the West Coast.
Yep.
The chips fall where they may.
Uh-oh.
Let's get into Chip Kelly's situation.
Isn't it awesome that he's going to be dialing it up? No huddle, no mercy. 100 plays a game, 60 points. UCLA, he was going to go to Florida Sunday night. They brought everybody up there. They gave him the pitch. But they did not come home back to Gainesville with him or a signed contract. His offense traditionally fits better in UCLA. He can probably have a little more peaceful life there. Doesn't have to do a lot of the booster stuff and can go out in public and be, you know, unknown in Bel Air. Can't do that in Gainesville, Florida. Plus, I think most of all, every week you're not going to see those freaky defensive linemen. those dogs exist in the SEC, so all of a sudden, No Huddle, No Mercy isn't quite as fast there.
Now, but if we look at the fit for Florida, what did you consider the fit for the University of Florida?
The blueprint has already been done twice. Spurrier and Urban, what they have in common, both wide open offense. You're in the number one state for talent, the number one state for speed. Be wide open, and these kids will line up to go there, and you'll have to turn them down. Because both those guys did it, and they barely ever lost a game doing it in the best league. So that's the blueprint. I think the next guy they look in line, when it first opened, I'm thinking Dan Mullen, former assistant there, quarterback guy, exactly what you need. Sounds like if he does leave Mississippi State, it would probably be towards Tennessee, not Florida. I don't think the wife had a great experience in Gainesville.
Yeah.
So coming all the way around, Frost, number one offense in the country. Yes. He's done an unbelievable job. He's basically a younger Chip Kelly because he runs the same exact offense.
He's coming with Chip Kelly trainer.
And it won't get past him.
Now, and it doesn't get past him, but does he have that fit? I think you gotta. It's just something about a Florida coach that I don't. Sometimes I don't see in a.
You're thinking of that Spurrier and Urban swag.
Yeah,
that comes with it. Like we're not gonna back down from anybody.
Yeah, and even certain people know it that those guys were guys that had an ego that was big.
Right.
As the world, and you had to walk on a thin line when you was even in their presence,
right.
mm-hmm. was in their presence. So does Frost have that at this age, at this stage?
He's only been a head coach for 2 years.
Yeah.
And he was only a coordinator a year before that. Absolutely. So what impresses me is, remember, before he went to Nebraska, he out of high school, he originally signed and played at Stanford. This is a very cerebral guy, delegates good,
he was under
knows
Bill
how
Walsh.
To manage staffs. I think the bigger concern with people for him is he's going to bring his whole staff there. None of those guys have ever recruited in the SEC before, so that's going to be a challenge.
Right.
Now,
when they put the Gator shirt on, magically they're going to be better recruiters. Go figure.
But now, it was word out of Florida that they wanted whoever was coming in to keep Randy Shannon.
Right, which I think would be brilliant. I've been told even by Scott Frost's go-to guys that he's so loyal that he's going to bring all his guys because he's like, these are the guys that helped me got.
Go. So now, if they tell him that he's got to keep Randy, does he keep him as a DC or does he put him as a linebacker coach?
Yeah, I think Randy will have other opportunities, albeit maybe Arkansas, Mississippi State, somewhere
else. I can see him at
Arkansas. as a defensive coordinator.
I can see him more. I can see him at Randy.
Yeah. Or if Chad Morris, who knows him personally, gets the Texas A&M job, bingo.
You think he goes that west? You think he goes that far?
He's going to go to a place. He's always recruited Texas. He still does to this day. I've been at Dallas Skyline with Randy Shannon before. It's going to depend on whoever is the head man.
The head man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I
have the rapport with.
When you speak about that, Scott Frost said he's going to bring his whole staff to. That speaks volume for the coach. Trust me, because that doesn't happen. That does not happen to when you bring everybody into the stable.
How many assistants did Nick Saban bring from Michigan State to LSU when he went there?
Everybody. I would not be the coach of Alabama.
Yeah.
When you think about Nick Saban, that's the one thing I would not be the coach of Alabama.
But you know what, though? I respect Coach Frost for that.
Yeah.
You know, because like you said, these are the guys that was with me in the trenches. And remember now, he's not chasing Florida.
No.
Florida's chasing him. Yeah. So I think Coach Frost, he stick by his word.
Correct.
Hey, look, if you want me, this is what I need.
This is what I come
and
with.
If not, hey, and I guarantee
I'm
you, if he don't go there, I guarantee you, he's going to get a new contract at UCF.
Yeah, he's coming.
Or he's going home where he grew up, where mom and dad still live in Lincoln, and he's going to – he's going to have a hard time saying no to Dr. Tom Osborne.
What?
When Tom calls up and it's like, hey, I need you to come home. Now, I think there's a misdemeanor in he runs tempo, which is not a fit, as we both agree, at Nebraska. But it's tempo run.
Right.
I mean, they're snapping it 90 times a game, but it's 65, 70 runs. So a lot of people are running wide open spreads, but they're throwing. He's spreading it and playing fast to run.
And that's the trick to all of this. And that's why it goes back to, like we said tonight, with this game tonight about American heritage and Cardinal giving.
Now that's
and that leads right
back into that, like, and as you're saying now, you okay, you ran this spread so much.
Yep.
You as a DC, you've seen this a lot. You've seen, you know, have you seen and taken the best hits that the Buck has given you? And does you change up what you do as the Buck? Do you come in and say, okay, instead of air raiding it, I'm going to come in trying to pound, and then go to air raiding? Or do I fall into the teeth of the shark?
Yeah. Well, you know, heritage is built where? On defense, and that's secondary.
Yeah,
they got a great back end. And I think if I'm the Buck tonight, I'm going to unleash what I call thunder and lightning, the Davis boys.
Yeah.
I think if we can establish the running game with those guys, which in the last couple of playoff games up against Orlando Jones, they had a great running game up there. Last week against Rockledge, and that's not taking three from Scazzo. Like I say, he reminds me of myself. But I think, you know, hey, take the ball out of his hand a little bit, and I think it'll be a great changeup pace tonight against Heritage if you try to let Thunder and Lightning get loose.
Because you got, in order to establish the trenches, you must establish the running game first. You don't establish a passing game, and you get linemen to where they get hungry. Linemen get hungry when they pancake.
Oh, yeah.
You don't pancake when you pass blocking.
Right.
You kick set. So if he could come out and he can get established a running game, I think that's going to even this playing field a lot more than if he come out with the pass. Because to me, if you come out with the pass, you've just fed into our strength.
Exactly. Yes, and the QB Scalzo, who I think is must-see TV, I think the most exciting plays tonight are when his first and second read aren't there and he starts moving all over the place.
Yeah. Yes.
And then he sees somebody flip down into the back wide open.
And then he goes down.
Yeah.
But now.
Or he could go down too. Yeah, just as
but
easily.
But now, listen, with them playing man, with them able to man up their receivers and play these receivers, not only that, able to get up in their face and be physical. Because it's not like Givens has a lot of big receivers.
Right.
To where you can get a big receiver. They have a lot of smaller guys that these big DBs can kind of change your route. And how much time does that get Scalzo with those defensive ends smoking off those ends? Mm-hmm. How much time? Because now I'm quite sure they're going to want to keep him in the pocket to where it works to their advantage. Mm-hmm. Let's not let him get outside the box the way he can get on the edges and do what he like to do. If we keeping him in the box, there's hands. He's only so tall. If everybody's hands are, it works to his disadvantage because he can't see over the line. So now does that give the edge then to American Heritage? And I think that does in this game. I think they got to come out to me. If Givens won a chance in this game, they got to come out to establish the running game more than anything else. And I know they're going to want to come in. And if you watch Mike Leach, you watch what he do, he don't give a heck what happens.
Right.
He wants to run his offense, period. He's a stubborn guy. And the Buck comes from up under that tree.
Right.
Do the Buck say, hey, listen, I'm not going to be stubborn. I'm going to play this game the way I need to be able to play the game. But now, if we say those two are even, it brings us to what now? Because there's three phases to a football game.
Right.
There's offense, defense, and special teams.
Yes, sir.
Special teams cost them the last time.
Yes.
Yep.
That made that game a little lopsided than what people know. They let Heritage take one to the house on them.
Difference of the game.
How much have you now, as the Bucks say, okay, that's what hurt us. How much have they emphasized got to play smart football in special teams?
Yeah, because Heritage, I mean, they have Pat returning punts. You have Anthony Schwartz, the fastest kid in the country, returning kicks. They can change the game just like that. Mm-hmm. And they have a Division I kicker, too, who's a weapon, too. So if they didn't, shame on them, because that was, like you said, the difference the first time.
And I from some of my sources, they have changed some of the guys, some of their top defensive guys they put on the kickoff. But now, you put them on kickoff, how long in a game like this, how long can you hold up? Are you in that much condition? Because this game is going to take a lot out of you.
Yeah.
A lot out of you.
I think because these guys have been going at each other for the last 2 or 3 years, and really, Heritage has come out on top. You know, this is their fourth regional finals in a row now.
Yeah.
You know, they won three state championships. You know, Pat won it last year. Mike Rupp won it, you know, 2 years. And so in the last 4 years, I think Heritage has been here.
Yeah.
I think Cardinal Gibbons have been knocking at the door. So, and I think, you know, if the Buck can be committed and stay with, if they shut you down at the beginning, the first half, don't give up on it. Because if you're running the ball, guess what you're also helping? You're also helping your defense out.
Yeah. You're keeping them
off. You're keeping them fresh, because you go out there, you go three passes, boom, 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 boom. Your defense back on the field. And then what is Heritage going to come out and do?
Yeah.
Pound them. And that's what happened the last couple
of
games.
And like you said, they're going to want to, and Heritage understands. I think Sertan has let them know, hey, listen, we in the beginning, the emotion is going to be flying on both sides. We're going to play. We may not win some of the battles. Boom, boom. But this game is played 60 minutes. You got, and I saw that the last game. I watched him, and I watched what he was telling his guys. Hey, listen, this is just the first quarter. This is just the second quarter. Stick to our game plan. We're not going to deviate from what we do best. We're going to get a couple breaks that we got to capitalize on when it happens. And I think that's what helped him. But now, we're not playing at Cardinal Gibbons.
Right.
This game is at American Heritage.
Right. We're home, man.
Yeah, where they never really lose. So we've talked about the fun part.
I know what you...
We've talked about the special teams, but what about Mario Perez's offense against the Gibbons defense? We haven't really mentioned that at all.
Well, when I look at Gibbons defense, it almost say that they're really not known for the defense, because the offense overshadows them so much. When you're looking at that edge, I think I give that edge to American Heritage when it comes to that. I think I'm giving that more to American Heritage than
I do
for
Gibbons. You got Miles Jones, who can play the slot, play running back.
Yeah,
he had a huge game last week, a Vanderbilt commit, which I think is a great fit for him. You've got some really speed guys like Schwartz.
Off.
Yeah, on the outside. You got some Division I guys up front on that O-line. I think a key factor is the guy who I think is the top junior D-end in the state of Florida, Chris Bogle. At defensive end for Gibbons, he reminds me of a guy that used to play on this field, Brian Burks.
Yeah.
6'5", 220, long. Down the road he's going to be 250 and coming off that edge. And he could have a 2-3 sack night tonight.
But now, and 2-3 sack. But when have – and we look at the Cowboys game and bring me back to them when Smith wasn't in there and they got – what's his name, had 6 sacks in one game.
Yeah.
Now, do they scheme to try to prevent this guy from coming in as he does on that end? Or do they say, guess what? With us running what we're running, if he run upfield, we're going to run up under him.
Yeah,
if he takes
run right at him and see if he can.
Yeah, see if he can.
Yeah,
he can
handle that.
Because I think you can think about what it's like to be in this magnitude. Every time Gibbon has gotten to this point, they can't get across the threshold. Mm-hmm. Whether it be or not, some teams find a way to win and some teams find a way to lose. It reminds me of when I was at Kansas. My first couple of years, we was there, but we found a way to lose them. Whether it be mistakes, whether it be miscues or what have you, we found that way to lose until my senior years when we was able to find a way to win.
Sounds like you needed more animals and more dudes.
Well, we needed a whole lot of them. We had to keep
them.
And like you, my coach Mason used to say, the difference between 8-3 and 3-8 is this small, and if you blink your eye, you miss it. I think that's what we're going to have. If they blink their eye at any point in time, American Heritage offense can strike.
Yes.
Just like that.
They can strike and make and change the game of the way this thing is being played out. If we look at, that's why I really put this key matchup is more on Gibbons' offense to American Heritage defense, because I think that's where the excitement of everybody's coming to see is those two key. But I think right now, if I was playing this game and we got about 5 minutes left on this show playing this, if I was calling this and understanding that there's three phases to this game, this defense and special team, and I'm gonna add in another coach.
Okay.
If I was adding all those and I was ready,
I'm going to go, if I'm looking at defense, I'm giving that to American Heritage. If I'm looking at special teams and where it's been at this point, I'm giving that to American Heritage because that's what I've seen in the both of these battles. That goes, I'm leaning toward that. If I say offense, I still would say with Nick Scalzo, I'll probably lean a little bit towards starting to give.
Uh-oh, here we go.
But now, when it comes to coaching, knowledge of this game, if I look at Chad Wilson, University of Miami guy, understand, played at this level. Look at Surtain, Rondé Gaskins, Daryl Porter, Mario Perez. When I look at that staff, and if I was to add up their years and their expertise, I'm leaning toward American Heritage.
Oh, my God.
I lean toward American Heritage. So, with that being said, with all four of those, I've just given American Heritage three of them. And I give it one, that's the offense. So with me, with it being said, I'm leaning toward American Heritage. And I said earlier in the week, it's going to be tough to beat a team.
Something must have happened in the last 24 hours.
I said it's tough.
24 minutes.
I said, listen, I said it's always going to be tough, I thought, to beat a team twice in 1 year. It's tough. I always say that. It's tough. But when I add in the elements, they're playing home. Mm-hmm. They're playing here. They're not playing. I have to really sit down and analyze this thing all the way out. And I analyze it out, and I'm giving the edge to American Heritage. I'm giving it, I'm going to say 28-21.
Yeah.
Leading for the American Heritage.
I think in those four categories, I'm going to give the check mark by Heritage and all four of them. They're the nation's number three reason. They're the number three ranked team in the country for a reason. I've been on record, and I think DeBuck has done an unbelievable job.
Yes.
But his
yes.
time will come in 12 months when
yes.
Scalzo and Vogel are seniors. That's when they will walk the aisle
yes.
and win the state title. It's not happening tonight. Tonight's their last game. Heritage 31, Gibbons 21.
Mm. Well, it's hard to give you, you know. I understand this is your alma mater.
Yeah.
But you got to be real.
Yeah.
Break it down to how you see this thing being played out.
Like you've established the four categories. I think I'm going to piggyback on Ryan. I think Cardinal Gibbons has done a great job of building. I think, you know, the playoff run they've had, I think they've had the tougher road.
Yeah.
Than Heritage. So I think coming on at the beginning, I think give us a, if they got to come out and give them a thumb, you know, because I think Heritage is hungry right now. The last game they played over at Cardinal Gibbons, I think they know how tough it is. Even last year, it was a tough game here last year.
Yep, yep.
So I think the seniors from America had to take over and take control. I think all four phases, I agree. I'll give all check marks with American Heritage, and not because I'm a patriot, but again, they're ranked third in the country. I think these guys want to go out on top, and I think they've been there. I think, again, with Brian, I agree. I think next year will be the year for Cardinal Gibbons, but I think they'll be throwing out the fishing rods tomorrow. So I'm going to go with American Heritage, 35-17.
Wow. And as you hear, guys, we're live here at American Heritage. We're closing out the Tony Sands Show. Guess what? American Heritage Band is just now coming to the building. So let's let you know, we're getting close to game time. We're getting close to game time here at American Heritage. You heard all of us break this thing down. But the game still must be played on the pitch. Here it must be played on the pitch. I just said the game is coming on. And when I blinked my eyes, it was over.
Hey, we got a marching 30 over there.
Leave you know, and I'm just coming off.
We're working on that.
You know, and I'm just, you know, it caught me. I had to stop. So if anybody heard me stop me in sentence, that's why. Because I just come off of the classic when I went to see Bethune and Bam. And it was that. Doug, do me a favor, before we go off, because we've been talking about culture change. Can you play that Nick Saban? Play that Nick Saban soundbite for me. Because I just get kicks off when I hear that. Play that Nick Saban. I would not coach at Alabama game time. Players are on the field. So guess what? Tony Sands got to sign off, and I got to go watch me some football because that's what I came here to do is watch football and give knowledge to you. We're going to come back next week. We're being getting closer and closer to the national early signing period, which is December 10th. 20. December 20th. Hey, some people going to get some lucky Christmas.
Yes.
Some people going to be some sour, what they call it, they, you got the Grinch that stole Christmas. Going to be a lot of them.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a lot of little elves that's going to come out and plant little gifts in people's socks.
And a lot of people are going to have new homes. And some of them start unsigned.
Because they got to get the jump on this early. If Florida doesn't hire, nobody's going to hurt them.
Yeah. They got to do it
quick. And that's the reason why they opened up that job early, so they could get a job on everybody.
I agree.
And Chip wasn't even employed at that time, so they could have had him in place.
Had him in place ready to go.
Now you're going to have to wait for Frost, and he's not only coaching right now, but he's got Memphis in 8 days.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. We're closing out here on the Tony Sands Show. Catch us each and every week here on Friday at 6 p.m. at your local high school big game. But guess what? It is always a pleasure to grab your ear gate and let our mouth gate run through it and give you the knowledge that we need to give you. Hey, I'm signing off here with my main man, Ryan Bartow, who knows it all, covered the landscape like no other. He's been on a tour that took him how many miles, Ryan?
9,821, 43 days, 21 major college programs, unreal access.
And how many car changes?
Two
car changes in that whole journey. When a man takes that much landscape, this is why he is the expert. When you run that much landscape in that many days, there's not a person in the business that does it better. So I'm letting everybody know there's not a better man in the business that covers that much landscape. You have some guys that are local, and that's just what they are, local. We have national. That's why we are a national show. We have the nation's best in the business. Ryan Bartow, we're signing off here. And peace, love, and guess what? Football time.